Good morning. The scripture for today is John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they were born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The winds blow wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Verily I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. Then how then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the ones who come from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. God of signs and wonders, we come to your word again and again, seeking understanding in the new life it offers. By the power of your Holy Spirit, illumine our hearts and minds so that we may believe this testimony and have eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher and savior, we pray. Amen. I have a bit of a confession to make to you. I know you love it when I do this. Sometimes, although not quite as often as earlier in my life, I'm a little hesitant to tell people that I'm a Christian. Whether it's out of fear or embarrassment, I don't usually wear my faith on my sleeve, or these days, my neck. And some of that hesitancy is due to passages like this that are used in some pretty distasteful ways. Perhaps any of you have been asked, "Are you born again?" I know I've been asked that many times, and it's always it's a difficult question for me to answer. I didn't have that, you know, I didn't believe in God, I believe in God. It was just always a part of my faith. It's just always been a part of my life. But it also feels like the asker is trying to sort me into some sort of group. Are you saved like us? Or are you crazy like them? Am I a real Christian, or am I one of those religious fanatics? And honestly, the question isn't an especially accurate or helpful way to determine how someone lives out their faith, because it relies pretty heavily on stereotypes. And I personally, I think that this question creates more separation and conflict than building up the body of Christ. It seems like Nicodemus was also just a little bit hesitant to let other people know what he thought about Jesus. Because John tells us that Nicodemus went to Jesus at night under the cover of darkness. It was almost like he was sneaking around and he didn't want other people to know. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a ruler. We don't get to hear a whole lot about him. John is the only gospel that mentions him. In addition to this incident, we see Nicodemus interceding for Jesus with the other Pharisees during the trial, and finally bringing spices with Joseph of Arimathea to bury Jesus after the crucifixion. It probably was difficult for Nicodemus to meet with Jesus, if not outright dangerous. Jesus was, after all, or Nicodemus was, after all, part of the establishment for whom Jesus became a political problem. So he followed Jesus from afar. He arrived under the cover of darkness to see the light of Jesus. And then he disappeared just as quickly as he arrived. Nicodemus does admit that there's something real special about this Jesus. That God must be with Jesus. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one else could perform the signs that you're doing if God wasn't with him." And Jesus responds by doing what Jesus does and answering a question that wasn't asked. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." I can see Nicodemus just shaking his head in bewilderment, like, okay, what does that mean? This guy's just making things up now, isn't he? I can't put myself back in my mom's uterus and be born again. Jesus clarifies by saying, "Truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit." Jesus even goes a step further, chastises Nicodemus for being so surprised. I tell you, this does nothing for my imposter syndrome, because I'm wondering, like, how exactly is Jesus going to respond to me and my questions like this? This whole interaction makes a little more sense when we read it in Greek, though. The Greek term for born again is geneo enothen. Geneo is where we get gynecology, birth. Enothen, however, enothen has several meanings. It means again, anew, from above. To be born enothen speaks of both a time of birth, again, anew, and the place from which this new birth is generated, from above. Nicodemus only hears the first option, born again. But the way that John writes this, Nicodemus should have heard and understood the double meaning at the same time. So we also need to keep this wordplay in mind. Nicodemus still doesn't get it. I see Jesus just dropping his head in his hands in frustration, and he says, "You know what? You're Israel's teacher. How do you not know what I'm talking about?" lest we judge Nicodemus too harshly. I think we're also supposed to be struggling with the expression geneo enothen alongside Nicodemus. We're supposed to grapple with what kind of new birth is at the same time birth from above, a birth that is of water and spirit. In that struggle, we're called to listen to all of Jesus' words in the texts, not just a few of them. So as we move through the text, a fresh and fuller understanding bubbles up. By transcending the traditional categories, the text envisions a new mode of life for which there are no precedents. Life born of water and spirit. That is life regenerated through the cross of Jesus. Jesus's impatience with Nicodemus leads some of us to read the texts as a command. You must be born again. And that work, that being born again, that's something that we need to do. Us gestating Christians, we are responsible for being born again. And that leads us to an urgency of making sure that not only we, but other people make that decision to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, while at the same time having the validity of our faith judged by whether or not we have been born again. When we use it this way, we're making the same mistake that Nicodemus made. Understanding enothen only on one level, Nicodemus focused on that physical birth, while some Christians focus on spiritual rebirth via personal conversion. The mistake here is emphasizing personal change more than the external source of that change, the cross. What if instead of a command, Jesus is offering us an invitation to let God work in our lives, inviting us and Nicodemus to come into the light of the day and become mature believers, full participants in the abundant life that he offers? And Jesus knows that none of us can do this on our own. It's God who will give birth in water and spirit. This is God's gift to give, God's work to accomplish. And it's God who labors to bring us to new life. God works hard for us and our faith. God conceives us as Christians and nurtures us in the wombs of our faith, safe and warm and secret. But at some point, like any pregnant woman who is close to full term, God gets a little impatient with gestation and wants to just get on with it. God wants to push that baby into the fullness of life, into a faith, holy, living holy into the world. The good news here is that God is prepared, even eager, to do this hard, messy, sweating labor through water and spirit that will bring us to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen.